understanding your elemental constitution, or what's called prakriti in Ayurveda, and your current condition or symptoms of imbalance, which is called vikriti, are the starting points to applying Ayurveda in your daily life. In this workshop, you'll gain an expanded view of your uniquely designed nature, both your inborn gifts and some of your inherent challenges. From here, you can use the tools of Ayurveda to customize your lifestyle, your yoga practice, your daily routine, your dietary choices, exercise plan, even the type of work you do in the environments you're in. All of these can be designed to help harness your gifts and better manage your challenges. Ayurveda is a system of self-healing that stems from the Vedic tradition. Ayur means life, and Veda means truth. So Ayurveda is the lore of life, or the truth of life. All of the systems of philosophy and practice that stem from the Vedas, including Ayurveda and yoga, describe the nature of reality, the nature of the reality all around us, and the nature of the reality inside of us. So Ayurveda explains how nature uniquely designed our bodies, our minds, our energy systems, and our spiritual drives. And through understanding this system, we can learn how to really achieve vitality and self-understanding on all these levels. In the Himalayan tradition, yoga and Ayurveda are learned together because they're so complementary. They're often called the sister sciences or the sister wisdom traditions. Ayurveda gives us the self-healing knowledge for better vitality, energy, and health, and that lays a foundation for spiritual growth. Let's dive further into this concept of Ayurveda constitution or elemental constitution. If you take a look around you, I'm sure you've already noticed we're all wired differently. And this unique design is called your Ayurveda constitution or elemental constitution. It's an ancient way of describing your genetic inborn tendencies. The language of Ayurveda is the language of the five elements. And everything in nature contains these five elements. Everything you see around you, as well as individuals. The five elements are earth, water, fire, air, and space. And Ayurveda reminds us that you can describe what you see in nature, plants and trees, individuals, according to these five elements. So some people are more earthy, some more watery, some more fiery, some more airy, some more spacey. These are called elemental qualities. And each of us has a unique proportion of these elemental qualities. And as we learn more, you'll see these elemental qualities can describe your unique physical characteristics, physiological tendencies, and aspects of your temperament. Let me see if I can give you some examples. Some of us are more earthy by nature. And if we take a look at the earth element, what we see is that earth is stable, it's immobile. So if you look at rocks or mountains, earth is the soil. So earth provides a structure for roots to grow. It provides nourishment. So people that are more earthy by nature, they tend to be steady. They tend to be stable. They're very practical. They often are more quiet by nature. And they tend to be the rock in their family and friend groups. If they become too earthy or struggle with imbalances, they're going to struggle with things like heaviness, sluggishness, a lack of motivation. They might struggle with inertia, and sometimes that leads to a sense of depression. Watery people are more watery by nature, and water in nature is cool, it flows, it's fluid. And in the Vedic systems, water is associated with emotion. So people that are more watery by nature, they tend to go with the flow. They tend to be naturally emotionally in tune. They also tend to be natural nurturers and supporters. Water is another element that provides nourishment to plants and people. When out of balance, watery people tend to have too much water. They could struggle with water retention. That may lead to hypertension. They can struggle with over-emotionality and can also become heavy and more easily depressed. Fiery people exhibit qualities of the fire element. If you take a look at fire in nature, it's hot, it's intense, it consumes. And that's the nature of a fiery person. They tend to be hot in body temperature, hot in mind, meaning they easily get hot-headed. And they love to, their consuming shows through in a love to be driven and to achieve. They tend to be in leadership positions, they like to be challenged, and they like to achieve goals. They're the natural go-getters. When they get out of balance, they struggle with too much heat. So their sharp tongue can get even sharper, so they're more likely to burn bridges in relationships. They can tend towards burning sensations in the body, inflammation, and easily can get hypercritical and perfectionistic. Some people are more airy by nature. Air is the wind. Air governs movement in nature. So people with more air, they like to be on the move. They don't like to sit still all that often. So they like physical movement. They also tend to have a lot of movement in their nervous systems, meaning they have sensitive nervous systems, and they have a lot of movement in the mind. They have a very mental nature. They like to think and can easily overthink. So when that air quality gets out of balance, overthinking can be an issue, nervousness, anxiety, a lack of feeling grounded, and even dry and roughness in the body. The space element is the most ephemeral element. It's spacious, it's expansive. And in the Vedic systems, it's understood that consciousness or divine intelligence flows through the space element. So people that have more space in their nature, they tend to have expansive minds, and they naturally connect to really inspirational topics like the creative arts and spiritual philosophies. When they get out of balance, they can get spacey, so the mind gets forgetful. They can also feel ungrounded, easily anxious, or restless. So this gives you some idea of elemental qualities. We've talked about earth, water, fire, air, and space, how that begins to show up in people, some of the strengths it brings, some of the challenges that it brings. And our next step in understanding Ayurvedic constitution is to understand the concept of dosha. Our next step in understanding Ayurvedic constitution is understanding the concept of dosha. And in Ayurveda, dosha has a number of layers of meaning, and we're going to cover two of those layers. The first being a really broad concept of dosha. On a broad level, dosha is an organizational principle. It describes how the elements organize themselves once they're in your physical body. We've talked about how everything in nature contains the five elements, which means we're actually consuming these elements through the foods we eat, through all of our sensory impressions, the environments that we're in, the weather outside, even people around us. We're constantly taking in these five elements. So with the food you eat, for example, your digestive system has to transform the form of the five elements into the food, into a form your body can use to build body tissues and the constituents of your physiology. So dosha explains how those elements combine and form different aspects of you in the body. They literally are explaining how the elements bind into human flesh. The earth and water element combine in the body to form the kapha dosha. The fire and water element combine to form the pitta dosha, which is a little more dominant in fire, and the air and space elements combine to form the vata dosha. So when you read about Ayurveda constitution, elemental constitution, you'll see it expressed in this term dosha. And remember, there's a unique proportionality of the elements, and in this case, a unique proportionality in the doshas for each of us, depending on our genetically inborn tendencies. If you have more kapha dominance, it means you have more of those earthy and watery qualities, which we started talking about in our last section. It means you tend to be stable, steady, described as the rock in your family or friend group, and you thrive in more nurturing and supportive roles. It means there's likely some challenges with heaviness, sluggishness, feeling inert or a lack of motivation, and that can lend itself to depressiveness. If you're more pitta dominant in nature, you have more of those fiery qualities, and that those qualities included being hot in the body, hot in the mind, very sharp-minded, so a love of challenge, a love of leading, a love of achieving, going after goals. that tendency to be a go-getter. That's all qualities of the Pitta dosha. Challenges for Pitta include too much heat, so overheating in the body, inflammation, burning sensations, challenges with getting overly competitive or overly critical, or dealing with perfectionism. Emotionally, Pittas can get really challenged with anger and frustration. Now, if you're more dominant in the Vata dosha, you have more of those air and space qualities. You may like to be on the move. There's a lot of movement physically, movement in the nervous system. I mentioned sensitivity in the nervous system, and a lot of mental activity. Vata types are really drawn to inspirational topics, such as the creative arts and spiritual philosophies. Challenges for Vata types include feeling restless, ungrounded, nervous, and anxious, and challenges with dryness in the body, dryness in the skin, and focusing the mind. To help you better understand the doshas and how they present themselves in you, I've included a handout in this workshop that you can look for. It's called the Ayurvedic Doshas, and go ahead and print it out. We'll take a look at this together. Once you have the printout in front of you, if you take a look, you're going to see a list here of the three doshas. And if you have a pen, you can just make a note for yourself. Next to the Vata dosha, just write down air and space. Pitta, you can write down fire and water. And Kapha, earth and water. Just so you keep getting a better understanding of these elemental qualities. You can see there's some words to describe those elemental qualities under each dosha. Vata, air and space, these elements are cold, they're dry, they're irregular. You know, the wind moves in a very irregular pattern. And there's mobility, and that also describes the movement of Vata. Pittas are warm, often hot, and there's an oily quality due to the watery nature of Pitta. There's intensity and sharpness. Kaphas are also cold. There's more heaviness in the earth and water elements. There's a liquid or wet quality and stability or slowness. So now take a look at the list under each dosha, and you're going to see a combination of physical characteristics, physiological tendencies, and aspects of your temperament that I mentioned earlier. Some of them I've reviewed in our discussion, but there's some additional ones here. And what can be interesting at this point to help your learning is to get a pen and go ahead and look down the list. And you're going to circle under each dosha qualities that you exhibit. Now remember that your Ayurvedic constitution is your genetically inborn nature. So any of these qualities you circle should be lifelong characteristics, that you've seen these in yourself since you were a child. So go ahead and press pause for a moment and take the time to circle the qualities. And when you're done, just tally up the number of qualities you circled under each dosha, Vata, Pitta, and Kapha. All right, great. Now you've had a chance to explore these qualities for yourself. And typically what happens is you've circled qualities, maybe even in all three doshas. Although most of us are going to have some dominance either in one dosha or two doshas compared to the others. That's because in Ayurvedic constitution, the understanding is there's seven inherent prakriti types, and I've listed those on the board here. Some of us have a single dosha dominance, which means we have more qualities of Pitta or Vata or Kapha compared to the other two. And others are more dual dominance, have dual dominance in doshas, meaning two are more dominant than the third. And that could be a Pitta-Kapha combination, Pitta-Vata combination, or a Vata-Kapha combination. But even if you're more dominant in two, it may be you still have a couple qualities in the third category, but there is this tendency that either one or two will be dominant. There is a possibility that somebody has a constitution where all three doshas are very evenly distributed, equal proportions, where Vata, Pitta, and Kapha are the same in proportionality. And that's called a tri-dosha constitution. However, it's not that common, but it can happen. So now we've gained a little bit better understanding of Ayurvedic constitution. We first talked about it in terms of elemental qualities. We now understand how those qualities bind into our human form according to the doshas, and we're getting an understanding of our unique blend and proportion of vata, pitta, and kapha. Our next step is to look at how, based on our constitution, we tend to go out of balance and why physical symptoms or physiological symptoms or mental symptoms start to manifest, and then ultimately how to bring those back into balance. Let's recap where we've been. We started talking about elemental qualities, and then we just learned about the concept of dosha, how the elements organize in the body and create vata, pitta, and kapha, and how our Ayurvedic constitution is expressed in these unique proportions of vata, pitta, and kapha. Now, I also mentioned there were two layers of meaning of the word dosha, and the other meaning of the word dosha is defect or impurity. And the reason for this meaning is that your proportions of vata, pitta, and kapha can quite easily go out of balance. It's called having a dosha imbalance, and it's when you'll start to have symptoms, either physical symptoms, physiological symptoms, or mental emotional symptoms. Now, let me see if I can explain why the doshas so easily go out of balance. If you remember, we're constantly taking in the five elements. We're consuming the five elements through the foods we eat, the sensory impressions we have, the elemental nature of the people around us and the work we do, even the weather outside. So we're constantly taking in the five elements. And the challenge is, if you take in elements or a certain quantity of elements that tip the quantity of your vata, pitta, or kapha over the quantity that's uniquely designed in your constitution, you're going to have a symptom. So for example, if you're more kapha dominant by nature, it means you already have a good proportion of earth and water quality. And let's say you've eaten a lot of bread and pasta that day and it's really rainy and wet outside, it's easy for your amount of kapha to go above a certain point, the point beyond your elemental proportions, your constitutional proportions, and you might start to have a symptom. You might have water retention, you might feel heavy or sluggish. So the same is true for vata types and pitta types. For all of us, it's quite easy to consume too much of one of our primary elements and start to get symptoms. Another reason it's so easy for our doshas to go out of balance is because we're attracted to what we are like. This is called like attracts like. If you're more kaphic, earthy and watery, you like earthy and watery foods. I mentioned the breads and the pastas. You like to be in earthy and watery groups of people where you can have a little bit more peace, you can chill out, and kaphas tend to be more homebodies. Pittas tend to like things that are hot and intense and driven. So they like hot and spicy, flavorful food, ethnic foods. They like to be in competitive and motivated groups of people. They like intense activities. Vatas like what they are. They like airy, crunchy, spacey foods. So things like salads, leafy greens, smoothies. They like to be in groups of people and activities that give them a lot of freedom, a lot of spontaneity. The thing is, as I mentioned before, if you consume too much of what you're like, it can very easily throw you off balance because it increases the quantity of your dominant doshas beyond that point that is genetically designed in, and that's what gives rise to symptoms. So the concept here is that like attracts like. We like what we are. It's where we feel in our element. It's where we feel natural. Yet like increases like and can easily bring about an imbalance. So the idea in Ayurveda is not to suddenly remove yourself from everything that you like. It's just learning about yourself and learning how much you can enjoy something that you like and how to add in other qualities that will balance things out. The symptoms of imbalance that arise if you have too much of a dosha, vata, pitta, or kapha, is called your vikriti. Vikriti is usually translated as your current condition. It's always associated with having symptoms, and it means the proportions of the doshas have changed relative to your inborn nature, your genetically designed nature, and that is when your health begins to suffer. So just to give you a few more examples, if a kapha-dominant person has an excess in kapha from, again, too much heavy food, too much sedentary activity, or lack of activity, then they will tend to have earthy and watery symptoms, heaviness in the mind and body, sluggishness, a lack of motivation, and depressiveness. The pitta person has consumed too much heat and intensity through hot and spicy food, too much drive at work. They have a tendency towards workaholism and overdoing it. If they do too much of that, they'll see the heat. It'll increase in their body and mind with irritability, anger, frustration, judgmentalness, inflammation. Those are their common symptoms of Vikriti. And the Vata person, if they overdo it on too much light, airy food, I mentioned the smoothies and the salads, if they overdo it with too much spontaneous, unorganized activity, moving around too much, they will naturally get more restless, nervous, anxious, and even dry through the body. It's because they have too much air, too much space in their body and mind. The next step, after learning these symptoms of Vikriti and common symptoms of an excess in kapha, pitta, and vata, is learning how to alleviate that imbalance. There's different ways this is approached in Ayurveda, but the first concept that you learn is called opposite therapy. And that's what we'll be exploring in our next section. So we've just learned that these doshas tend to easily go out of balance. And part of that comes from the fact that like attracts like, and like increases like. If we consume too much of an elemental quality, and the amount of that dosha rises above our elemental or our constitutional proportions, we're going to get a symptom of imbalance. And the word for your current condition, your symptoms of imbalance, is the word Vikriti in Ayurveda. So to remind you, some common symptoms of kapha Vikriti, meaning there's an excess of the kapha dosha, are symptoms of heaviness after eating, heaviness in the mind, sluggishness, a lack of motivation, too much mucus or too much water in the body, and just an overall sense of sluggish digestion or sluggish metabolism. Mentally, this can lead towards depressiveness. Common symptoms of pitta Vikriti, too much pitta in the mind and body, are symptoms of heat, hot body temperature, too much heat in the mind, which shows up as anger, irritability, frustration, having a really sharp tongue, starting to burn bridges with other people. Shows up as inflammation in the body, burning sensations in the digestive tract, and at times hunger and metabolism can get overactive, a hypermetabolism. Common Vikriti symptoms for Vata, when there's too much of the Vata dosha in the mind and body, are symptoms of nervousness, restlessness, difficulty focusing the mind, dryness in the body, dryness in the skin, and often some challenges with constipation or irregular digestion. Now, when we start to notice we're experiencing these Vikriti symptoms, we want to look at how to balance things out. How do you actually abate the symptoms and bring yourself back to a healthy state? The beginning point of this treatment in Ayurveda is called opposite therapy. What we want to do is learn how to observe where we could be taking in these elemental qualities in excess. Where are we getting too much earth and watery quality that's increasing our kapha, or too much hot, intense quality that's increasing our pitta, or too much airy, spacey quality that's increasing our vata? This could be coming in anywhere in our lifestyle, food, activity, the type of work we're doing. So the kapha person who is tending to eat too much bread and pasta or tending to be too sedentary, they need the opposite qualities in order to come back into balance. They need to work with less proportions of bread and pasta, bringing in more light foods like leafy greens and vegetables, and they need more spice in their diet. In terms of activity and yoga practice, they need more heat, they need more invigoration, and this will counter their tendency towards sluggishness and inertia. The pitta person who has an excess of heat and intensity from too much spicy food, lots of overworking, lots of overdrive in the mind, they need the opposite. So they need more cooling and sustaining foods. They need to break the momentum of their drive by learning the value of taking breaks, by learning the value of momentarily turning their mind away from their goals so they can recuperate energy and cool down the mind. And the Vata person, who's overdoing it in terms of the salads, the smoothies, these really light, airy foods, the vata person who maybe really dislikes structure and their life is kind of designed a little bit all over the place. Doing the opposite will help their symptoms. If they add more warmth and moisture and groundedness to their food choices and begin to explore ways to regulate their routine and regulate their lifestyle. So this is the beginning point of applying opposite therapy. And as you learn more about Ayurveda, there's many ways to expand this. Opposite therapy can be applied to your diet, to your lifestyle, your yoga practice, the way you approach your work, the type of environments that you put yourself in. And this really begins to give you much more awareness and much more ability to bring yourself into balance and really maintain vibrant health. That vibrant health comes from when you can maintain the proportion of your doshas that nature naturally designed into you. I encourage you to continue learning and exploring Ayurveda. We have a lot of resources here on our Wisdom Library. So check out the Amrit blog, workshops, classes, and we also have available to you wellness retreats and professional certifications to keep expanding your knowledge base. Hope to see you soon, whether it's here, online, or in person. Thank you.